Here we go. In a little series called My Christmas Carol. Can you say that with me? My Christmas Carol. Now, I'm not going to tell you all about the Dickens book and all that like I did last week. Go check it out. You can go to fcinglewood.com. You can go to pastorgarysermons.com and get all our stuff, all the notes, hear the message again, do all that kind of good stuff if you'd like. And you can learn about that story, but we're not going to do that again. We're in part two. Here we go. My Christmas Carol. Let's roll it, Raj. If you're here today with us for the first time, I use this big screen right here. And we communicate back and forth. I ask you to talk with me a little bit so it sinks in. You might not learn as good that way as other people, but I think you will, because that's how I do it. All right? I hear something. Somebody gets on my case a little bit. I go, oh, okay, okay, oh, okay, okay. All right. So anyway, that's what I'm going to do with you today. So my Christmas present, going to review a little bit with you. I went over my past last week. Today is my present. It was Sunday morning, December the 18th, 1977, that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So it's 34 years ago, this very day. It's incredible. God's timing. I'm so glad this year he let that Sunday land just like he did. I'm so glad next week, Christmas is on a Sunday morning, that I get to share it with you. I really appreciate the calendar working out that way for me this year. That blessed me. On December the 18th, 1977, my Christmas past, which I talked about last week, received, say it with me, my Christmas present. Let's talk about that. I'm going to rewind 3 weeks. December 18th, 77, back it up 3 weeks. Back 3 weeks. It was Saturday night. I didn't go to church. Wasn't a church-going kid. I was a hellraiser. You saw that last week in the message. I came home from partying with my friends. It's about 11 o'clock. Came to my house there at 109 River Road in Rockingham, North Carolina. And there was Mama drunk in the recliner. And she'd probably downed about 18 Pabst Blue Ribbons. It's about what she did. Six, and then she'd try six more. She could drink. So she was drunk. Drunk as a skunk. She talked like a drunk person. You know how they talk. And so I came in there. She was drunk. In the recliner. And like, hey, that's normal. Nothing normal, nothing out of the ordinary so far. But this was different. Drunk as a skunk, watching Billy Graham on TV. There's the preacher. And she's watching Billy Graham, the evangelist, preach. Now, I'm from the South, didn't go to church, didn't know anything about church really, but I could see that was a preacher. And she's watching him on TV, drunk as a skunk. And she said this to me. We're going to church in the morning. So here's what I did. I cussed her out. Cussed her out. And even Southern boys who are bad don't cuss their mama out. You know what I'm saying? But I cussed her out. Went to my room. I can still see myself going to that middle room off that little den that that house we lived in. And I just slammed that door. Man! Idiot! What are you doing? You stupid! That's how I felt. Oh, my gosh. The next morning, she gets up. Making noise. In the kitchen and banging things. And I'm like, oh, she has got to be serious. So I got up and went with her. The only reason I went with her was to keep some preacher from stealing our last dollar. We were poor as dirt. We had nothing. And that's my mama. Whatever the case may be, that's my mama. And so we walked to church. Walked to church. Where are we going? That's crazy. We went up Caroline Street. Do you have that picture again? We went up this street right here. Got right here. Right there. And in my street it says this. River Road, Caroline Street. We got down to the bottom, and we took a right up that hill, Caroline Street. And several of you in this church, you've been there. And we walked, and we came to that place right there. First church on the left, right past Willie Reed's grocery store. Temple Baptist Church. Did not know where we were going. Had no idea. Where are we going, Mama? And we just walked. And we get to Temple Baptist Church. And some people met us out there in the yard. And it's funny. They got out of their car. And it was somebody we knew, she knew from years gone by. Way back when. Used to live next to her years ago. And they said, come on in with us. And so we didn't feel like absolute fools. You know what I'm saying? So we went on in. We didn't go to church at all. But there we go. And we repeated the same thing for 3 weeks. We went home after that church service. Mama got wasted. I lived life like I always had, crazy. We go back the next week. Mama comes home, gets wasted. I live life like I always had, crazy. Then the third Sunday was December the 18th, 1977. And I went with her. All three Sundays. I'm a nut, man. And then we walked up that hill. I still remember Mama saying that day, she said, I feel a little heaviness on me today. You know, this hill's a little bit harder to walk up today. Because it's a pretty steep hill, Caroline Street. And I said, yeah, Mom, it is. This hill's rough. And we go to church that Sunday morning. And the preacher preaches first right here. Say it with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And he kept preaching that verse. It was the Sunday before Christmas. And he said, Jesus loves you. But he's a southern gentleman. He's knocking on that door. But he's not going to knock the door down. You're going to have to open up the door. You want him to come to your life. And at the close of the service, the little country church, they gave an invitation. My mama came out, about the third row, came down, and I walked down with her. And I'll never forget, the man's name was Ralph Reeder, who took the Bible. And he saw me as this big guy here down the middle of my back. Was a ball player, about 40 pounds heavier than I am right now. And he took that Bible and showed me how I had sinned. Well, that was easy. Yep. And how that God loved me. And how he had a son named Jesus. And Gary, that's what Christmas is about. I never heard anything like that. I didn't know Christmas was about that. And so best I knew how. On Sunday morning, December 18th, 1977, my drunk mom and I received Christ. My Christmas past received my Christmas present. Best we knew how, we asked Christ to come into our life. Y'all understand? That's how I did it. It's important that you know that about me as your preacher. And many of you know it already. People see a preacher and say, no, I can't be like you. I can't do like you. Are you kidding me? I don't think I could have been any worse. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know anything. So if I can do it, you can do it, right? Say, if I can do it, you can. If drunk mama can do it, you can do this, right? Because it ain't about us doing something anyway. It's about us opening that door. And just best you know how, accept him. Because you're not going to have a degree in theology right away. You understand? Say, I didn't know squat. But here's what I want to talk about today. That's a little bit of the message. That ain't where I'm going, though. So y'all awake, all right? You fine? Here we go. What was inside that box? I received, my past received my Christmas present. What was inside that box? What did I get that day? I didn't know what I was getting. What did I get? I love presents. You'll see me grin, buy me something. Here we go. I'm sorry. Anyway, somebody recently said something to me. Is there anything we can do for you? I said, yeah, I could use a new black suit. I did. I was just sort of playing with them. Boom, next week, there's the money for me, a new black suit. Isn't that nice? I still like it. I do, man. Here we go. What was inside that box? Let's go to the Word of God. We're going to sort of switch a little bit, but keep that mind going now. What was inside that box? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, say this part with me. Behold, help me now, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? Now say this part with me. For we have seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him. Now when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called, say it with me, the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When did you see that thing? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Fat chance, right? What's that story got to do with my story? My Christmas past received my Christmas present. What was in the box? And I was reading this story about the wise men. And I thought about my life. I'd like you to see it. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star. Say it with me. Which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. What was in the box? What'd I get? Number one. Here's what God did for me. He opened my eyes. Can you say that with me? He opened my eyes. Don't say your eyes, your own eyes. He opened my eyes. He opened my eyes. That's what was in that box. They saw a star. They saw something. Well, the first time in my life, I saw something. I didn't even know there was a God. Never was told it by anybody there's a God. I certainly didn't know that he gave his one and only son for me. I had no idea. And I did not know there was a God who created everything out there and that he loved me. I didn't know that. But he opened my eyes. Y'all hearing me this morning, yes or no? He opened my eyes. I didn't know where I came from. I come from a monkey. That's what people in leadership and authority, people over me in my education was telling me. That I came from slime, that I was nothing. That's the way I grew up at home. That's the way my parents lived, like we're nothing. But God changed something. He opened my eyes to the fact that he existed, to the fact that he loved me, that he cared for me. And God gave me the gift of vision. He gave me the gift of vision to see. I ain't talking about some spooky vision. Don't come up to me thinking I'm going to give you some vision or something. He gave me vision to see that I matter, that I count, that I'm loved. He opened my eyes to the way I look at my world. It's not just random. There's a purpose. You understand where I'm coming from? That was in the box. I didn't know it was in the box. It was in there. Did I get it that December 18, 1977? No. But over time, wow, my eyes opened. And he gave me vision. Let's keep looking at this story with the wise men. And when they saw the star, say it with me, they rejoiced, say it with me, with what? Exceeding great joy. You know what else was in that box that I got that day? Look at it. Number two, God not only opened my eyes, God, say it with me, God opened my emotions. God opened my emotions. That's what they had. They saw that thing and they rejoiced with exceeding what? Great joy. It was exciting. Here's what God did for me. There was something inside of me. As a boy at 109 River Road, Rockingham, North Carolina, I never knew I had. And that was enthusiasm and excitement. There was something inside of me that He drew out of me. And people, when they come to fellowship, I hear this all the time. And I certainly ain't bragging on myself. But they come here and go, well, you're really excited. You're enthusiastic. You know, you keep us awake. Well, before Jesus Christ came into my life, I could give a rip about you being awake. You understand? Now He's put something inside of me. There's an enthusiasm and excitement for God's work. I don't know if y'all know that or not about me. You don't have to call me on Sunday morning and get me out of bed, do you? Say, somebody talk to me. No, you know, I'm not relying on you to get me up. Got to get up, Pastor. It's time. You got to get over there. I come here for me. That's why I come here on Sunday. I come here for me. I'm the most selfish person in this room when it comes to that. I come here for me. I can't wait to get here for 8, 9, 7 men to be on that parking lot, going to huddle with me like a football team and pray with me for 30, 45 minutes. Was that good stuff today, Bob, or what? Was that good stuff in that trunk, or what? Forget about it, right? I come for me, enthusiastic, excited. But that was in the box. I never was like that. I didn't grow up like that. I didn't grow up, hey, I didn't do that. God did something in me. I didn't realize. But He gave me the gift of enthusiasm for His work and for His glory. I love it to hear you people sing, to see the place full. That's thrilling to me. Amen? We had the big scramble last Sunday night. My goodness, I drove up in that parking lot, had all those cars in. I was, wow, this is great. I went around to the different houses, and we're going, and to see your houses that you put together. Can we thank them for doing all that last week? Come on. Y'all were great. I'm serious. I was for 17 years in a church that they didn't like to clap. Do you know how hard that would have been on me? I'd like in a straitjacket. I love it when we can praise the Lord here. I love it when we can clap. I've had it before where singers would sing in the years past at the other church, where if they'd sing and somebody clapped for them, I'd get somebody come up to him and say, well, you know, it's about the Lord. We shouldn't give them praise. Now, if you come up and did that to me now, I'd go, you're an idiot. Amen. Say, we're going to do this because, hey, they work their tail off and it is for the glory of God. Have you lost your mind here or what? Amen. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Enthusiasm and excitement was in my box. If y'all lost it yet, y'all ain't sleeping on me, right? This is my message. I wrote it in my office this week. This is what was inside my box. That's why I don't get it. I don't get it when you keep living your life the way you've always lived your life and you got you a little bit of religion. I don't get it, and I don't want what you have. I don't want what you have. If that's your Christianity, keep it. I don't want it. Y'all hearing me or not? Say, you can have your mess, because as far as I'm concerned, that's what it is. What I got, there was something in the box. And all hell come against me, that box is still working. You hear me? I'm telling you. That's some good stuff. I'm just telling you. I just looked at the scripture and looked at my box. I keep reading the story this week. And when the wise men were coming to the house, help me now, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, say this last part, and fell down and worshiped him. Well, something else was in my box. God opened my heart. God opened my eyes. God opened my emotions. God opened my heart. What do I mean? I never sang before Christ came into my life. I was about 3 months going to that church. Been saved as a Christian about 3 months. Probably around February, March. There were some pretty girls staying late after church one night, hanging out by the piano, or the pianer, the way we call it. And I thought, I'll hang out with them. And they were practicing their song. They were a little trio. Pretty girls, flat out. And they were singing. And one of them looked at me and said, "Do you sing?" And I... And then they said, "Do you know the song Love Lifted Me?" And I went, "Well, sure, I know the song Love Lifted Me." Then I got all cocky, you know, my pride. "Yeah, I know the song Love Lifted Me." It was the Kenny Rogers version that was out at the time. Well, they're talking about the Bible version, the hymn thing. So they said, "Well, sing a little." And I can't believe I did it. But they were pretty. And so I just went, "Love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. When nothing else would do. You know the love lifted me." The piano lady, wait a minute. The piano lady looked and went, "You can sing." And I went, "Only sissies sing." But they were pretty. Yes. So believe it or not, I started singing with those girls. Why wouldn't I? Amen. Amen. Started singing with those girls. Had a quartet. We traveled all across North Carolina and South Carolina. 16, 17, 18 years old. God opened my heart. He opened my heart to worship Him. The mouth that had never praised Him, He opened my mouth to praise Him in song. And then I started speaking. You're kidding me. That's pretty nice. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God did that for me. 109 River Road, Rockingham, North Carolina. Did that for me. You know what He gave me? You know what was inside that box? God gave me intimacy with Him to worship Him. Are you crazy? I would have never done that. I would have never. "I'm going to sing a song for Jesus." Oh, yeah. I would have never done that. Ever. God did that. You understand? And I get as big a kick out of being hearing Scotty sing. Miss Kristen, the folks, the band, Miss Karen. Man, I just love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. That we get to worship Jesus Christ here at this public high school building. Nothing means more to me. This is incredible to me that we get to have that time with Him. Isn't that great? And now no matter where I go, you'll hear me singing. You ride in the car with me, 1,700 miles, you're going to hear some serious singing. This time it was Christmas songs on the way up and back. Amen? Come on, yeah. We're singing, baby. Amen. God did that. That was my Christmas present. Now, if you weren't here for the past message, you don't understand what I got, maybe. Whole different life for me. So I'm in my office and I'm writing, and when they had opened their, say it with me, they presented unto Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What else was in my box? God opened my treasures. He opened my eyes. He opened my emotions. He opened my heart. And now He's opening my stuff. He opened my treasures. Before I became a Christian, are you kidding me? I had no compassion for anybody. Here's what I would do for you if you rode down my street. I'd lay in the ditch and shoot out your car window with my pellet gun. That's what I'd do. There was a little store at the end of the street, a little fish market run by a blind lady named Hassie Brady. I would walk into the store, creaking floors, creak, 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 fill my hand, fill my pockets up with candy from a blind lady. Walk out, creak, creak, creak. She'd say, "Would you like some candy?" "Oh, yes, thank you." "Go back, get more." That's a useless individual right there. You understand? No compassion for anybody. You were there for me to take from. You understand? But God changed that. God opened my treasures. "Oh, I was stingy, all right. Thanks, Raj." "Oh, yeah. Thank you, buddy. Keep going." God changed that. Amen? God changed that. God changed that. Guess why we don't put a little offering basket down by the donut? Somebody take a wild guess. Because I don't want one there. You understand? When you go to a big picnic and you have a big ribs and chicken and steak. We've had steak. How many have eaten ribeye steaks here with us before? Absolutely, we've done it. And there's no offering basket there. We don't take up money to pay for it. Have you ever done that? Yeah, you've seen me. You know why we don't do that? Because we ain't going to do it. We don't sell stuff and do little gimmicks at Fellowship Church. Can you say that? We don't sell stuff and do little gimmicks at Fellowship Church. Can you say it again with me, church? Because like half of you think we do. One more time. We don't sell stuff and do little gimmicks at Fellowship Church. We're going to be known as a church that gives, that loves Jesus Christ and loves people. You understand? And if we can't give cheerfully, we do what? We keep it. You understand? I still believe enough in the Lord that if I ask His people, that He's going to supply our need. I believe that. I'm a nut. But God did something in me. He opened my treasures. I saw Him change me. So I know He can change you. Amen? He put a love inside of me for people. I had nothing inside of me for people. I could care less about people. This is East Rockingham. One of the many houses in that area. Very, very, very poor part of town. I was poor. These people made my poverty look pitiful. And so when I first became a Christian, 6-8 months a year, I started working with the most troubled kids in my town. And it was fun. I loved it. I'd pick them up on a bus. In my day, you could drive a school bus when you're 16 years old. Oh, that was scary. So I'm driving this school bus, a 66-passenger school bus on Sunday morning. My partner is Jerry Beaver. He's old right now, real old man, just had one of his legs removed. He talked to me on the telephone on Friday. He taught me responsibility and how to go pick up these kids and always leave them something, Gary. Give him a piece of bubble gum. And I'm like, "You going to buy the gum?" He says, "No, you're going to buy the gum." Isn't it funny how we always like to take other people's money and spend it? Say, the government. That's what the government likes to do. You understand that, right? Yeah. Hey, right behind the government is church folk. I'm going to say something. That's going to make a couple of you ugly and mad at me. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Some of you come up with ideas. You see somebody with a need and you think the church ought to do it. Why don't you do it? Say, where did that come from? I'm not trying to be ugly. That's not saying you can't tell us a need, but, "Oh, God laid it on my heart." Well, if God laid it on your heart, then I guess it's going to get done by you then, ain't it? Are y'all hearing me this morning? Oh, we like to give other people's money away. I love doing this. I love those kids. And guess what? Pop it up. I wrote this. I love you. And it's not hard for me to do it. And I can even say something ugly to you sometime, like I just said, because I love you. You understand the difference, yes or no? Oh, yeah. I don't. Well, I love you, man. Thank you very much. I don't have to kowtow to you. When people love you and you love people, you don't have to kowtow. I don't know what that means, but it's the right word. It means what I'm talking about. You don't have to suck up. That's other language. I don't even know what that means. But anyway, here we go. God gave me inside that box a generosity and a love for people. It was there, man. Did I get all this week one or week five? No. It's been over my life. His salvation, his mercies are new every what? Somebody tell me. Great is your what? Faithfulness. The last thing, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, the wise men departed into their own country another way. And would you say that part with me? And being what? Warned of God in a dream. Well, this is the close of my message. It's getting real close to the end. Hang on. Here's the fifth thing I saw in that box. God opened my spirit. He opened my eyes. He opened my emotions. He opened my heart. He opened my pocketbook, my treasures, and he opened my spirit. That's what he did to those wise men. He spoke to those wise men. You understand? Through their spirit. I grew up hardly knowing right from wrong. So God's word became my guidebook for living. My pastor gave me a Bible. That first Bible, I read that thing from cover to cover, up, down, left, right. I marked in it with different pens and colored pencils and things like that. And that book became my guidebook for living. That's why if you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. Because somebody gave me one. You understand? He opened my spirit. I started reading his word. He increased my knowledge. I didn't have any knowledge. Mama, 11th grade. Daddy, 7th grade mill worker. I went to school to play sports. I didn't know squat. He increased my knowledge as I read that Bible. I'm the only one in my family to graduate from college. My whole family. God did something in my life. And believe it or not, people actually seek me out for counsel now. They want to know what I think before they make decisions. Is that funny or what? Say, that is funny. No, that's God. He can change your life. He changed mine. So what did God give me in that box? He gave me discernment and wisdom. People will say that about me sometimes. You got such good discernment. I'm like, you must be talking about somebody else. Because I still remember the kid from Rockingham, 109 River Road. You understand? But if God did that for me, he can do that for guess who? But for you too. That is a great Christmas present. Wow, my Christmas past received my Christmas present. I think some of you are probably a little worried about me this Christmas. Why don't you just raise your hand if you're a little concerned about me this Christmas? Can I see your hand? I figured you would be. Why did I give this message? Because I want you to know I'm going to be okay. Okay? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay because I got something. And I want you to get the real thing. I want you to get the real thing. I don't know where you came from, what church background you came from. I don't even give a rip. I want to know, do you really know Christ? Does that ring a bell with you? Anything I said up there, is that ringing a bell in some of your minds? Was that ringing a bell with some of you in your box? You started to see some of the same stuff I got. Is that true or not? Yeah, a little bit true. Well, it ought to be ringing a bell. All right? But I want to tell you something. This is going to be a little tough on me. Well, I'm not done. But God's still giving me Christmas presents. My daughter came home from college, from USF, about 2 weeks ago on Thursday night. It was late. And we talked from about 11 o'clock till 1. I was laying on top of my bed there, my room. She sat in a chair over here, and we just talking. She and I do that. And some of our talk, most of it was real, real good. Some of it was not as good. Because we talked about our Christmas this year. But it still went fine. She gave me a goodnight kiss and went off to bed. So the next morning I get up, dress, take my shower and dress. Then I open my bedroom door onto the hallway. And there's something laying in the floor. It's this right here. She wanted to make sure when I walked out of that door that I would see this. And she said, she reads the book of Proverbs, tries to every day read a proverb. You should do that. And she said, I'm going to read it to you. Because some of you are worried if I'm going to be all right, right? Don't you see I'm going to be good? Dear Daddy, I read about you today. Proverbs chapter 15. And she took the verses and wrote a little of the verse and what she thought. Gentle answers deflect anger. You know how to handle people. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing. Why, a random man said, I could listen to him and is coming to church with his son. Verse 3, the Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. You're the good he's watching. Gentle words are the tree of life. Yours have saved so many lives. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline. You taught me right from wrong. There is treasure in the house of the godly. Look around. We're blessed. The lips of the wise give good advice. You always know what to do and give me great advice. Verse 8. The Lord delights in the prayers of the upright. God hears you. You're the most upright man I know. The Lord loves those who pursue godliness, so he must love you most of all. Verse 10 has nothing to do with you because it's what God hates, and you're everything he hoped you would be, I'm sure. Verse 11, same as 10. Verse 12, same as 10 and 11. A broken heart crushes the spirit. Your heart was broken, but I'll be here no matter what to help you put it back together again. A wise person is hungry for knowledge. That's why you know so much. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. That's why you eat out so much. Verse 16. Better to have little with the fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. You could have done anything and been anything, and you chose to serve God, fear the Lord, and keep his commands. Verse 17, a bowl of veggies with someone you love is better than a steak with someone you hate. You get the best of both worlds, steak and veggies with me at Bonefish. A hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person stops them. You stopped me, and it showed how much strength and character you have. You're a great man, Daddy. A lazy person's way is blocked with briars, but the path of the upright is an open highway. The path before you is open and full of possibilities and has no speed limit and no stoplights. I like that. Sensible children bring joy to their father. My ultimate wish for myself is to always bring you nothing but happiness. I love you. A sensible person stays on the right path. You've always done what was right. Many advisors bring success. So many people are so much better off knowing you and hearing you speak. Verse 23, everyone loves a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. You always say the right thing at the right time. Now, I don't always agree with that one. The path of life leads upward for the wise. Your life is going to be great. God promised, and He never lies. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but God gave you a new house. He's made sure that you'll be taken care of, and despite what was thrown at you. The Lord delights in pure words. You may let a cuss word slip, but your words are always filled with truth, and honest words are the purest words. I'm sorry about that cussing thing. Those who hate bribes will live. No one could bribe you into doing the wrong thing or to abandon God. You're so strong and full of love. Verse 28, the heart of the godly thinks before speaking. Usually the case, smiley face. But every time you have ever said something without thinking, it's followed by a sincere apology. The Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. Every time you pray, He hears you loud and clear. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. When you look at me, I always feel like the most loved daughter in the world. That's a great feeling, Daddy. If you listen to constructive criticism, you'll be at home among the wise. You always listen to me. Eventually, if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. You must have been corrected a lot because you are so wise. She's writing this at probably 3 or 4 in the morning. So, fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, humility, and humility precedes honor. You fear the Lord and are wise, and your humility and wisdom has made you the most honorable man anyone who ever meets you will ever know. If anyone doesn't realize it, in your words, screw them. Me? I love you, Daddy. We're going to have a great Christmas. Keep up the good work. You're my hero. I pray I turn out just like you. I'm so proud to call you my father. Love, Elise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's good to me. God's good to me. Amen. Amen. We're done. We're done. Amen. Stand on up with me. Let me close this service. Now listen, you know I didn't write that about myself. There were things said up there I'd never say about myself. But I sure am glad my daughter feels that way. I'll tell you that right now. So I put that up there. She and I have got a little old house we're working on and fixing up. And we're excited about it. It's just an old place. But we like doing stuff like that. I'm from the country. Amen? I don't know what God has for me. But, you know, God's going to take care of me. You think He brought me this far, all that stuff in that box, to let me? No way, right? No way. He's an awesome God. Amen? And the God who loves me loves you. You understand? And you should know, boy, it ain't measuring up to Pastor Clark. Are you kidding me? Look, man, I brought down cookies on the bottom shelf. That's where those cookies are, baby. He's right there for you. Amen? You understand the message today? All right, let's pray together. Bow your head with me. If you'll stay with me just a little bit longer, I know. But we're still about normal. Maybe a smidgen late. Hang in here with me unless you need to go to work. I understand. Father, thank you for this morning. Father, thank you that I can stand in front of people I love and open my heart and not feel threatened. Thank you that I have that peace, that relationship with you, that relationship with them. Thank you that I can even open up some of the most intimate details like this beautiful thing from my daughter, because I know you'll use that. that part of me. And God, I pray that today. You'll use these words. You'll use this message. Father, I pray people won't be looking at me. I pray they'll be looking at you. You have blessed me. And God, I thank you for December the 18th, 1977, coming into my life. Just like the preacher said, God, you were at the door. You were at the door. And I just barely opened and you came in. I pray that somebody in this room will find hope from that. I pray they'll see that you are there if they'll open that door. And they'll put their faith in you. Help them, God, in Jesus' name.